I invite you to open your Bibles if you want to follow along to Psalm chapter 36. Psalm chapter 36, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. In case you don't remember, last Sunday I tried to talk a little bit about putting our trust in God and how He is our refuge, He is our fortress, He is our strong tower. And of course the Psalms are chock full of references to God being that strong high tower, that solid rock that we can put our trust in. But this goes on in the Psalm to talk about one of the benefits of putting our trust in the Lord, apart from just the general confidence that we feel when we trust in God. In verse 8 it says, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house." Now the fatness just means, again, it's the fullness, it's plenty. There's no lack. "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fullness or the plenty of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." Now we may pause and ask the question, why? Why shall we drink of the river of pleasures? Why shall we be satisfied? He says, "For or because with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light." That's one of my favorite verses. In thy light shall we see light. You know, there's just something wonderful about light. I'm rejoicing today because I thought it was going to be cloudy all day and the sun has started popping through. Now, some folks kind of like cloudy days. I love sunshine. And I love to be able to see the light. And I was trying to think, why is light so special to somebody like me and generally us, period? It's kind of hard to describe or define. But I got to thinking about it, and part of it is it's just sort of mysterious. It just does something good for us. Well, I wanted to try to get a little bit closer to some sort of a reason or explanation beyond that. And I just got to looking up some of the definitions about light. And everybody agrees that light is an illumination. It brings darkness to light. It manifests things. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 says, it makes manifest. The light makes manifest. It makes it known. It makes it possible to see. You know, of course, scientifically, you can start talking about the electromagnetic radiation spectrum and, you know, Roy G. Biv and all that kind of stuff. I remember having to learn that back in school, you know, the different color spectrums of all the different wavelengths. But beyond just this scientific idea of light, you know, when we see it streaming through, you know, it's cool sometimes when you can see the light streaming through a window, the sunshine. And there's, you know, and you wave your hand through it. There's just something almost magical about that. You know, those photons packed with packets of energy streaming from the sun, traveling at the speed of light. And it fills us with this sense of awe. Or maybe it's just when we look out and we see a beautiful sunset, or we see a beautiful sunny morning, something about that light fills us with awe. Or on the harvest moon, and the moon is just so bright, and we can just see almost as if it were daytime at night. And there's just a really neat, good feel, or whatever you want to call it, about that. But in the Bible, light is used very often, and a lot of times it's used to describe God Himself. It's to describe moral and ethical knowledge, like the eyes of our understanding being opened. It means to be able to comprehend something. It means to be able to shine truth against the error of darkness. It's purity. You know, in light in general, just like this, it just sort of purifies the room whenever it brightens up. You don't see the darkness. And that's the way light is a lot of times. It's just this emblem of purity. It's the essence of truth. And we rejoice in the light. The wise man over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 says this, truly, the light is sweet. The light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. To be able to just see that, there's just something pleasant about it. When you see the sun or you see light, don't you feel alive? There's just something about, you know, the sun or light that makes you feel invigorated. And of course, the sunlight itself is an emblem of energy. It's packed with almost this feeling of wanting to be active and enjoy and embrace the vibrancy of life. I really enjoy when I can feel that way. I really do. It's just it's one of the things that makes it wonderful to be alive, when you can wake up and want to face the day with energy, and you can face the night with energy and courage. Over in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30, another similar comment is made about the positive attribute of light, and that is, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. And truly, again, when you're able to look out and behold some beautiful vista, you're able to do that because there's light. If there were no light, we wouldn't be able to behold it. And so when we kind of step back and realize, yeah, light is awesome, and it's great to be able to see, we can begin to appreciate that. But what does that have to do with Psalm chapter 36, verse 9, where it says, in thy light we shall see light? Well, again, the light oftentimes is symbolic, or it stands for spiritual understanding. Being able to see life for what it really is. Not being enshrouded with darkness and uncertainty, but to be able to see clearly. And that, my friends, is where we are all wanting to be, because we recognize there's something wonderful about this light. Now, God Himself is light. That may be one of the reasons why it's so wonderful. Because in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, He says that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And you remember that God actually spoke the light into existence in the beginning of the creation? You know, when the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep? You know that time when the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of pitch black water and darkness? I can't even really imagine what that was like. But God spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light. And there was light. And God Himself says that He saw the light and it was good. There's just something good about light. And God divided the light from the darkness. So God Himself is light, and He created the physical light that we see. And everything that relates to light, then, we know, draws us close, somehow nearer to God. Something about the light. If we can get close to the light. God also says through his word that he is the father of lights. He says that in James chapter 1. And then Paul tells us in 1 Timothy that God dwelleth in the light that no man can approach unto. So whether or not we have the ability to appreciate light this morning, or maybe we just sort of gotten hardened to the concept of light, God tells us there is something really wonderful about light. And I want to try to bring a few of those things more to our attention today and try to think again. We're doing this because his word tells us that if we can see the light, his light, then we're going to be in a great place. It's really where a lot of happiness is found, and that's actually one of the connotations of light itself, is sort of happiness. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came on to the scene preaching, one of his central messages and one of the great I am messages statements was in John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." How many times have you stubbed your foot in the dark? Or your shin? I was at Mom and Daddy's house not too long ago, and there was a chair in the yard, and I was walking out at night, and it was a black chair. My shin and that black chair made a very uncomfortable collision. And I may have been tempted to release unkind words and thoughts, but I was a perfect angel. No, I'm a sinner. What can I say? There's something wonderful about light when you don't see something and you collide with it. Yes, sir, there is. And I want to get to that place where I can see clearly. Because I recognize there may be this sort of appeal to being in the darkness sometimes, but the darkness only has bad stuff associated with it. You're always colliding in a very uncomfortable position with something in the darkness. And you know, Christ says, yes, I'm the light of the world. God says, I am light. And do you know that one of the greatest condemnations that Christ tells the world has to do with light and darkness in John chapter 3? Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." Light came into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. When you're doing bad stuff, like it goes on to say here, you're going to get exposed, or there's the fear of being exposed. So we read on in verse 20. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." You know, reproved means exposed or discovered. You just don't want to get caught. I wish I could say that was just a couple of people in the history of the world that ever felt that way. But I have a sneaking suspicion we have all felt that way at some point. And maybe we feel that way even now. Maybe there's something in our lives that we happen to fall into occasionally, and we just rather it not surface to the top. I want to keep that buried under the rug as best as I can. I don't want to bring it to the light. So the condemnation that came into the world is that men love darkness more than light. I look at the sunshine. I look around me and I say, how could you love darkness more than this? How is it possible? Well, we know the story of mankind going way back to the Garden of Eden is that man came on the scene and messed things up. Messed them up real bad. And in fact, one of the descriptions of this in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, was that God describing the wickedness of man and their downward spiral, he says in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, they're not fitting, they're not appropriate. They're not good. That's what happened. And the reason is, he says in chapter 8, in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is contrary to God. It's contrary to light. You've got darkness and you've got light. And the carnal mind is enmity. It's set against it. And the Bible goes on to describe this in Ephesians chapter 4 as being in a state of darkness. Because again, when you're in darkness, you can't see. You can't perceive. You're going to run into that chair in the dark. You can't see it. You don't know it's there. In chapter 4, verse 18, this is what it says. Talking about the Gentiles, not in the vanity of their mind. This is the characteristic of that. Having the understanding darkened. Darkened. That's us in our natural state. Being alienated or separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's what it means to be enmity against God. That's what it means when God gave them over to their natural self. And my friends, that is the way all of us are when we are born or conceived, I should say, sometime in the womb until our dying day, we will remain that way unless something happens. And you might be asking, well, what is that something that might happen? Well, in the next chapter, in verse 8, 5 verse 8, he tells us. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. How did that happen? Ye were this way. And it was a permanent status left to ourselves. So what happened? Something happened. Did we just one day wake up and decide, you know, I'm going to quit walking in darkness. I'm going to see. I'm going to change my ability to see things. That's not what God's Word said. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So how do we go from darkness to light? It's because God translates us from the kingdom of darkness and puts us over here in the kingdom of light. And you know, that's what Jesus' mission really was. It was described really poetically, but truly, in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee, speaking of Christ, the Messiah, I have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people for a light of the Gentiles. What is that light going to do? It's going to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And my friends, if you're blinded to the truth of the gospel, you can appreciate what it means to be brought out of an inability to perceive anything good. If you're just sitting there like a knot on a log and you hate every moment of the gospel message and it never gives you that warm, gratifying sensation like being in the sunlight, that's the power of darkness. The power of light is when you're able to see, this message is from me. I can see. This Lord Jesus means something to me. And I can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I see something special when I open this book. It's not just boring, boring line after line. It's a real message of hope for me that gives me confidence to face life. My friend, that is dwelling in the light. That is being able to see the light when we see His light. When He shines on us, that's what we're talking about. It's spiritual understanding. He comes to open the blind eyes. Of course, we've got a lot of wonderful songs. John Newton talking about how he was once blind, but now he sees. And we know the young son over there in Luke chapter 15, that his daddy says he was blind, but now he sees. How wonderful that was. I think, to me, one of my favorite examples in God's Word about this ministry, the special ministry that Christ had to come and to heal the blind. Literally, He healed the blind. But He, through the Spirit, are opening the blind eyes of the hearts of men. And that, my friend, is awesome. But in John chapter 9, I love this story of the blind man who was born blind at his birth. And Jesus comes on the scene, and let me preface this and say, I've loved this story for a long time, but it never occurred to me why in verse 5, Christ says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, He's the light of the world still today, but He was the physical, in the body, light of the world at this time that you could touch. And He will be that again one day. But at this time, He says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then it goes on to tell about how He heals this blind man. And the blind man is able to see. And of course, there's a wonderful story. And we recognize here later that God He's aiming for something a bit deeper than just being able to heal this blind man. He's talking about something else. He's talking about what we'll read here in verse 35. So it's a wonderful story, because the blind man gets in an argument with the doctors and the lawyers of the Pharisees, and he takes them to school. I really love reading this. I just, for time's sake, I'm not going to. But remind yourself of the story one time. So he gets through having this deep sort of conversation and there's some friction there. And then the scene changes, and here's the blind man by himself. And Christ comes to him and finds him. And we pick up in verse 35, and he says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when He had found him, He said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He, the blind man, answered and said, who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You see, belief. Belief. If you're able to believe, then you're able to see with the eye of the soul. You're able to see an eternal truth that is hidden from others in this world. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a very well-known verse to a lot of us, it reminds us that Satan is actively involved in blinding the hearts so that they cannot perceive the light. They are not the ones that are able to see, in thy light we shall see light. No, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, or verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He says, but we're preaching something different. We're preaching not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for your sake, or for Jesus' sake. And the reason why we're preaching him is because God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How is it that we begin to have the ability to say with the psalmist, in thy light I shall see light? It's because God shines through and penetrates this dark spirit or heart and soul, and he gives us the ability to see. He shines light in a place where it was dark. And my friends, that's what Christ says when he says, I'm the light of the world. I'm truth incarnate. I'm the if there's something worth perceiving in this life, it's me. If there's something worth seeing, understanding, comprehending, and believing, it's me. So Jesus comes on the scene later, following up this story in John chapter 12, and says, verse 35, then Jesus said unto him, yet a little while is the light with you. Him. He kept telling him over and over again, I'm going to die. I'm going to be like Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and I will be taken and killed by sinful hands. He says, the light is with you a little while. And this is sort of the general message to us today. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I told y'all a minute ago, I knew in a direction where I was going, but I hit my shin bad. There's been other times I've been lost in the woods, and I thought I knew where we were going, or I thought somebody else knew where we were going. And we were lost. Well, I felt like we were lost. And of course, I've been lost in the daylight too, walking around in the woods. But there's something about darkness we inherently recognize when we leave the comfort of our homes and for whatever reason venture out into the darkness of night, and we recognize there's uncertainty all around because I can't see. I can't perceive the things that I can normally see in the daylight. And that's the way it is for us spiritually. When we are seeing things appropriately, we're seeing the light because we're looking at him who is the light. And we can perceive clearly. But when we are not believing on him, when we fall into darkness and we give way to error, whatever error that may be, then we're going to start walking in darkness. He says, while ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. You know, Paul goes on to re-echo that message back in chapter 5, verse 8. He says, you know, remember, ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were this way. This is the fact. Before God touched your heart, you were in darkness. Remember that. That's what he's telling us. He says, now you're light. This is the way it is. God did this work in you. And then he says, now walk as children of light. You know, that's our biggest problem, is we know what God has done for us. We know that he's taken us from darkness and put us into light, legally, so to speak. But actually taking it and putting our hands to the plow and walking towards the light, a lot of times we get derailed and somehow or another we start walking back towards the darkness. We get enshrouded. We get enshrouded with life, and it casts darkness over spiritual light. And we don't rejoice in it the way we should. And we get bogged down in the mire. So here's one thing. When we say, in thy light shall I see light, John shed some light on that in verse 7 of the first chapter of his epistle. 1 John 1, verse 7. I'm actually going to just read verse 5 to recap. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now let me just say, I am this verse. This verse has described a lot of my life. I have said, oh yes, I believe in God. I want to take up my cross and proclaim him. I want to be baptized. I want to tell the world as a message to the world that I love the Lord. And yet I lie, because I go and walk in darkness after that. I go do those things that he lists out in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 19. Or some of them. Something, you know. You're doing something that's not walking in the light. You're walking in a path of darkness. But he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Does that go back and call your mind to Psalm 36, verse 9? In thy light we shall see light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. The source of light itself, as we already saw, is from God. He is light. He is the source of light. He is the father of lights. He is our true light source. So the if is to walk in him, to walk in the light. And if we do, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, if you're walking in darkness, you're in essence living a life of sin. There's something in your life that you haven't confessed to God about. You have light and you have darkness. And Satan rules darkness. God rules light. Everything that is perverted, even if it's just slightly tilted in the direction of the devil, we've given over to darkness. Lust, greed, anything you can think of, lying versus the truth, is of the devil. And so he tells us to walk in the light because it's cleansing. You know, we talked about light being a sense, the essence of purity. That's what light is. When we're seeing all those photons streaming through the window, it's a sense of purity. It purges away the dross. And that's the way confession of our sins is to God. Acknowledging them is that he says, this will cleanse you if you're walking in the light. And of course, he tells us that in verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So being in the spectrum of light is to be in that sense of a lifestyle where we're freely confessing our sins. So, my friends, there's a choice here today. Yeah, there's a choice every day to walk in the light or to walk in darkness. There's one slightly good piece of news about that, though. And that is that in Isaiah chapter 61, or 60, I believe, in verse 1, he says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now get this verse right here. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. Now, I may be reading more into this, but I'm sort of taking it based on other aspects of the Word of God, and it's this. This something or another in here or in here is irresistibly drawn to light. You know that if you're a new creature, kind of like what he says in Corinthians, the inward man is renewed day by day. There's something irresistible for the new man about being attracted to light. And I may have mentioned it before, but one of the things that's always fascinated me about nighttime is you go to a lamppost or you go to a light sitting on the porch, and what do you see primarily? What's the number one insect you see? The fatal attraction. The moths just can't help getting around that light. Now, there's several different theories I've read about them. Why does the moth love the light? Well, they say one of the primary theories is that the light navigates itself based on the moonlight. And it's always trying to fly at an angle. And so if it strays out of its path and finds a lamp, it gets caught in this circular motion of trying to navigate itself at a certain angle and ends up in this circular motion or semicircular motion. But there's some other theories there too about, you know, pheromones and other things like this, you know, different chemicals that are emitted and whatnot. All I know is this, that the moth is attracted to the light, and it can't help it. And there is a sense to which our new nature is the same way about light. We want to be near God. We want to be near to Him, Brother Pete. That's the inward cry of the inward man, is nearer, my God, to Thee. I want to be near the light. Now, there's the old fleshly joker that still abides. This carnal-minded, fleshly individual that says, I want to do what I want to do. And I don't care what the light says. If it means me wanting to take a notion to go out into the backyard on a pitch black night, then I'm going to do it. And inevitably, every time, that joker is going to bang his shin. That's what happens. That's the consequences of walking in darkness. And that's the reason why there's a choice presented to this new creature for us to say, if you walk in the light, that's where you're going to find happiness. That's where you're going to find that joy that comes when, it's like when you're sitting out in the sunshine on a slightly cold day and the sun begins to warm you up, and it's, I don't know, maybe all of y'all don't like sitting out in the sun, but I love to sit out in the sun because it feels warm and good. Well, if you've never experienced that, just trust me, it can happen to people. And I'm saying that's what, in a way, it's like being in the sunshine of God's love. You will never be in the sunshine of God's love as long as you're walking in darkness and doing your own thing and ignoring God's Word and never repenting, never coming to Him in prayer, never giving a flip about the work of God in this life. If we just take it and throw it away and we don't put priority on it, we're going to continue to just bumble around. Again, God's in us. And He's continuing to say, the light, the light. That's where you want to go, is to the light. And we've got to be willing to listen to that voice. Listen to that voice that says, the light is good and it's sweet and it's a pleasant thing. And by faith, to be able to believe, God says that if I'm dwelling in the light, I'm going to see the light. And my friends, that's our choice today. It's let's walk in the light while we can. God forgive, I was going to say us, but God forgive me for not doing that more. We've got every reason in the world to walk in the light. So may He help us do it, is my prayer.